Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Lee. Welcome to Retro Remix podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was once a lawyer. And then I started blogging when my children were young, and I stopped lawyering and started writing, and wrote my first book. It came out about 2 years ago, so I probably wrote it 3 or 4 years ago. And I've been writing ever since. I have 5 kids. The oldest is almost 19 and the youngest is 10 and a half. I have a cat and 9 chickens.
Oh my gosh.
And that's me. I live in New York.
Yeah. So it's like, you got the madness of it all.
We are all packed in here.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. So what made you start blogging, actually? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I've been journaling for a very long time. And I stopped journaling when I started having kids, I think because I just didn't have time, or I maybe wasn't so introspective. And I started, like, my kids, I had 2 boys first, and they would just do stuff, like really crazy stuff. And I used to tell these stories, and people were like, you know, you need to write that down. That's really funny. Mm-hmm. Like, not every boy freezes his pee and pretends it's chicken soup stock. Or, you know, pranks the babysitter, you know, or hides, you know, like my boys were just doing crazy, funny stuff. And I was just chasing after them all the time. And then I had, you know, a couple kids right after. And it was just like insanity. And then I started writing about it. And it was great. Like, and it was also very good for me to practice hitting publish. Mm-hmm. And knowing that other people would be reading me.
I love this. And so how did your blogging inform your writing?
If you've read my blog, you can definitely hear the voice in my writing. I think that it's a very similar sort of realistic, matter-of-fact, kind of funny, very comfortable with body humor and physical comedy and self-deprecating. So it definitely has a similar tone. And it taught me how to be very concise, you know, how to begin with something, tell a story, and then wrap it up and go back to what I began with. And so in terms of that, it was very informative. And then also, like I said, it got me used to hitting send. Like, by the time I walked into a fiction writing workshop, which is how I started to write, people had already read me. And, you know, I was still nervous because fiction is so different. And I was so much more sensitive about that than I was about funny stories about my kids. But I definitely had practice.
Love this. And so were you a reader before you were a writer, or was it, which one came first?
Always. So I mean, reading.
Yeah. What kind of stories?
Yeah. It's funny. I was, you know, I grew up in England, so I read all the English stuff, like Enid Blyton, C.S. Lewis. And my mom came to America and brought me Judy Blume. And I remember I was like, wow, this is so funny. And it's so irreverent. And it's so loose and easy to read, and I can relate to these characters in a very different way. So I've been reading for a very long time, and I still devour books. I'm too quick, because often someone will be like, I love the part when, I'll be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I missed that entirely. How nice that you picked up that detail that I missed. But I do. I still read a ton.
I love this. And so what made you pick the genre that you start writing? Was it just because it evolved from the blogging writing and thinking, like, you know, it can be similar to fiction writing, or is it something else?
Honestly, I feel like it chose me. Like,
yeah.
I walked into somebody that I had never met sent me a message on Facebook a few years ago and said, I love your blog. I don't know if you ever thought about novel writing, but a friend of mine is teaching a class at Sarah Lawrence. Mm-hmm. There's like a writing center there. So I was like, okay. And I literally just walked in and this book just kind of happened. Like I had some ideas in my head that of stories that I wanted to tell and it just was there. Like I think sort of it just chose me, like this is just what I had, the story that I had to tell. For sure, I am very comfortable in women's fiction and in this space because I read a lot of it. And I'm just interested in women's stories. I love stories about women, by women, for women. Like it's just, I don't exclusively read that, but it's definitely a comfortable space for me. And it just seems to be where I am right now and where the stories are for me.
I love this. And so how has it been writing during the pandemic? You know,
awful, okay. awful, terrible. I finished this book before the pandemic. I was editing it in the pandemic. I am working on a new book now. I am working at a snail's pace. A couple months ago, I changed the entire story, which I've never had to do before. Now, maybe just three books in, it gets harder in a way because you expect more from yourself and you've already told certain stories, but I'm struggling. And partly it's because I'm at home with people who, you know, my husband's also home with people, but they don't spread out at his desk and do their nails in the middle of the day as they are want to do in mine. They don't bang on his door like they bang on mine. And also I'm used to just solitude in the house and I don't have it. So everyone loves this and I love having everybody around. I'm ready for everyone to go, mm-hmm. all of them. Mm-hmm. And they can come back just at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And also I just think by not being out in the world, I'm struggling. Like taking walk, going and seeing and doing and people watching. You know, I'm a terrible eavesdropper. Like we would go out for dinner. My husband would be like, you're literally sitting on the lap of the woman next to you. I'm like, well, she's having the best conversation I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And I'm just nosy, fascinated, watching. And I'm seeing the same handful of people and they're not that interesting. So
yeah.
It's hard. I'm really struggling.
It's been hard. I would tell you, like, I've been isolated. Like, I think I mentioned, I moved. So I'm like, I live by myself. I only talk to my Starbucks barista because that's my only daily walk and everything is Zoom. So it's like, it's not the same, you know, like it's not the same to eavesdrop, to sit outside or sit in a restaurant and just like, listen to other people's conversation or go into a coffee shop and like journal, you know.
I just can't wait to eavesdrop again. I went and got my haircut and I literally, there's nobody in the salon because they're spacing us all out and I could not hear conversations around me. And I was so cranky because that's where I get some of my best, when I get my haircut is where I definitely get some of my best ideas.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I'm sorry. Hopefully the end is in sight. So.
Hopefully. Yeah, I'm hopeful. I am actually hopeful.
Yeah. So I've been asking this question just because it's kind of like interesting and people are eavesdropper, like the whole idea of a podcast is a conversation that people get to eavesdrop. And so what has been something that sparks joy, like whether it's a hobby, something you're passionate about, something random that you're like, you know, I geek it out, I nerd out about it, you know.
I do like to move. Like I am a walker and a runner and being out, and I live near Van Cortlandt Park. And so that for sure makes me very happy. I get out in the mornings and I just generally try and move year round in all seasons. And that definitely, and it's been a consistent thing in my life since, you know, I was an 18-year-old. So it makes me very happy. I have chickens. I have pandemic chickens and they spark an unreasonable amount of joy in me. Mm-hmm. And if you follow me on Instagram, I've gone down the hole of chickens. I hang things in there for them to play with. It's called Hentertainment. Get it? And then just, I'm in there and it sparks tremendous joy. What else? Reading continues to spark tremendous joy, and biography and memoir for me is where I go and I'm just feeling like crap and I need somebody else's life and somebody else's fascinating life. And I just finished a Mark Nichols memoir, the Mark Nichols biography by Mark Harris. And it sparked tremendous joy because there I was like in the New York theater world of the 60s, 70s and 80s. And I was out of my house, out of COVID. So that really sparks a lot of joy for me. And I mean, I should probably say my family sparks joy. Okay. I'm going to leave it right there, though.
Yes, I love this. I love the chicken. So what made you decide to get chickens during the pandemic?
So I had always wanted them. You know, we lived in Seattle a long time ago, and chickens were a thing there before everyone did not. And we had these neighbors that had them, and I was like, oh, you know, you can get eggs, and isn't that interesting? And my oldest were at the beginning of the pandemic, were 16 and 18, and they were like lifting weights and working out, and they would eat between them like a dozen to 18 eggs a day sometimes. And when we were all looking for eggs and toilet paper, I was hiding eggs all over the house so that they wouldn't eat them and I could save them. They wouldn't like eat too many. Mm-hmm. And I would forget where I had hidden the eggs. And I would like, it was a giant egg hunt. I was literally, and then at some point I'm like, we need chickens. I cannot wait for Costco to get me these eggs. So we got chickens we got chicks, day old chicks came in the mail in May, but I didn't do enough research because I didn't know that it would be until October before I got a single egg. So I had to house and look for these chickens pooping everywhere, eating everything outside, whatever. I let them free range for a while. They ate all my garden up. Then I stopped that. And then in October, they started to lay eggs. And now I get a bunch of eggs a day. And it's great.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Yeah, I'm always curious about, you know, like getting chickens.
I like pets. I like animals. And I really like animals that work for you. Like we have a cat and she catches mice and that works for us. Like she's giving something back to us too. Like she's a working animal.
She's a working animal. I love this. Yeah. So let's talk about your book, The Truth and Other Hidden Things. Tell us the elevator pitch for it, The Truth and Other Hidden Things.
It's funny. I had an elevator pitch for it and someone was like, oh, so you mean it's like Gossip Girls for women in their 40s in the Hudson Valley? And I was like, oh, kind of. It is like, I guess it is like Bridgerton set in the suburbs of upstate New York where women are talking. I mean, this one woman is there and she is incredibly socially anxious and awkward. And she's just moved up there. And she, you know, she has this whole story of how her husband didn't get tenure at this city university that he was at. So she and their teenage children and her husband move up to the Hudson Valley, Dutchess County. She also is pregnant, which was not planned. And she's in her 40s, which is not a big deal anywhere. But for her, it is because she wasn't expecting it. And her children are like, you know, 12 and 16. And now their mother is pregnant and she feels very self-conscious about it. And she goes up there and she just is convinced that none of these women are willing to accept her. And she just turns inward and starts to blog about everything that she sees. And at first it's like cute things about the quirkiness of life upstate and how hip everybody suddenly is and how uptight the moms still are, even though she's not in the city anymore. And I think she thought it would be more laid back. And then it sort of turns into gossip and what she's observing and the lurid details of, you know, the bored suburban life.
I love this. Yeah, I love the fact that it's like you have the idea, like I think being in New York City for so long, that you have this idyllic view of the Hudson Valley of like this beautiful space and this quiet and slower pace and the greenery. You know, like,
totally.
It's like you just like because you're so in like the space, like you're not crowded, you're not on top of each other,
right? And there's that, and she does, and she can appreciate that. And I think she just thought it would be easier, mm-hmm. and it's not, you know. And there's still the same stress and anxiety, and you know, the college race that she can't bear in the city is no easier for her upstate. Mm-hmm. These people are still losing their minds about getting their kids into college and they're still hyper competitive. And I think she was expecting it to be different. And it's a smaller community. And, you know, in the city, you're pretty anonymous, you know, and she is not anymore. And she's married to this professor and everybody knows him and he's so cute and he's so funny and she just feels old and frumpy. And that's where she is.
Yeah. So let's talk about some book recommendations. What has been a book you read this past year that you enjoy?
I loved that the Mark Harris memoir of Mike Nichols, so good. It's just really good. What else have I read this year? Of course, I actually was just looking at my bookshelf when I was preparing for this and I was thinking, what have I read that I have really loved this year? I actually read another biography this year, mm-hmm. of a politician, Richard Holbrook, which I also really liked. I really do read a lot of memoirs and biographies. Yeah. So interestingly enough, one of my daughters is 12 and she's just discovered like you know, middle grade, young adult reading. So I actually with her read all of the Jenny Han books, all of the, all the boys. I had never read, you know, those were exactly the kind of books I read as a 12-year-old. 100%. I read every Sweet Valley High book. I read Paula Danziger, all of it. And I would have devoured these at 12. So I actually read those with her. And then I read the other series, The Summer I Turned Pretty. So I actually went down the young romance hole with my daughter Fiona this year. And it's actually been great. She's a terrific storyteller. And I've discovered other, it was Nicola Yoon is another author who I hadn't read, who I discovered. There's a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, if you haven't checked out, Morgan Matson is another one that is a really good author. She has like
Morgan, what's the last name?
Morgan Matson, M-A-T-S-O-N. She's friends, she's BFF with Jenny Han. I think they went to school together. And they both write like this very similar YA, like contemporary, small community, fun, you know, like just a fun story.
Okay. Yeah. I want more of those. So yes.
So I love this. So tell us where we can find you online.
So you can find me at leegeller.com, L-E-A-G-E-L-L-E-R. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm pretty much everywhere.
Sounds good. Thank you, Lee, for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It was so nice talking to you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. The What You Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you once for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.